What's going on, everybody? Steve Araujo from The Bass Hang here. And on this podcast, I'm super excited. I get to talk to the fine people at Aguilar Amplification. Aguilar's been around for a very long time, and in the bass world, bass industry, they are huge, and their innovations have always been very player-centric, player-forward, however you want to say it. So I talked to Dale Titus and Jordan Cortese from Aguilar, and I just get a lot of great insight. We talk about the history, and then the main thing that we talk about is the pedals. Because Aguilar, along with amplification, pedals, preamps, everything that is bass, you know, like I said, pickups, they have been making pedals, effects pedals, for bass for a long time. And a few of their pedals were super, or are super iconic. Everybody used them. They were the great example of, like, let's say the octave pedal, because that's the one I really love. The Octimizer has become as famous as the Boss OC2. You know, that's kind of a staple in everybody's, you know, arsenal or on their pedal board. So they completely redesigned their pedal line, and it just really intrigued me, and I wanted to talk to them about the impetus for it. And it's a, like I tell them, it's a super ballsy move for a company to literally redesign their pedal line, and I get some great insight, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And it was amazing, you know, the reasonings behind it, and I'm gonna get some of the pedals ASAP to demo. Listen to the podcast, you'll hear all the inside scoop, and enjoy it. Jordan Cortese and Dale Titus, thank you so much, guys. And let's listen to the fine folks from Aguilar. Thanks again for checking out the podcast. What's going on, guys? Steve Araujo here with The Bass Hang, and I am so stoked to have these two people on the podcast today. We have Jordan Cortese, who is the brand manager for Aguilar, amplification, pedals, all that is Aguilar. And we have Dale Titus joining us also, who is artist relations specialist. So, guys, thank you for wanting to be on this and just chat up and nerd out about all things bass. And
well, thanks for having us, man. This is great. I mean, we like nerding out. We do it during the week, and so let's keep going.
It's kind of part of our life being in the industry like this. So it's pretty rad.
Yeah, I mean, even at Aguilar, it's like we're all musicians on the team, you know, and obviously Dale and myself, you know, both being bass players, and you know, I mean, for us, we always are talking up ideas and products and branding that like we connect with as bass players, right? Yeah. So it's birthed from that place, and it always has been for Aguilar, right? That's been a big part of our heritage, and so we get to keep doing that, and it's fun, you know, right, Dale? I think about our Friday afternoon meetings where we just dream up stuff.
Man. So Jordan did the coolest thing when he first came into his position. Friday, he would have these small meetings between Pete, who's our product specialist, and that we would just sit and talk. Yeah. And in fact, initially we'd say, listen, this isn't a business meeting. This is like, what do we love about music? What do we love? What is the bass need? And I wish people sometimes could be part of that, because what what maybe they don't get when they have the final product, we love this.
Yeah.
This is is not work. This is able to go to be in a position and finally say, you know what I want?
Yeah.
Is I want XXX. And then Jordan's like, oh, you know what? I know how to do that. We're going to make that happen. Yeah. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun.
And it's good to have that mix of, like, you know, throwing out ideas, but also trying to like discern and find the common thread between what we're all saying, right?
As absolutely
musicians, because I mean, and Steve, I'm sure you could agree with this, like the world of music in general and how we perform and record, that's all evolving.
Yeah.
So the gear that we've been using for so many years has to evolve with it. And Aguilar always had this phrase, and it still is true, which is that we make tools for, you know, bassists and musicians. And we've sort of added an addendum to that, which is in an evolving world.
Nice.
So we have to, as a group, discern what's happening in music these days and saying, okay, how can we serve our customer base better in ways that they're thinking about and maybe in ways that they're kind of not thinking about. So those Friday meetings were our basically like attempt to like, let's just block out, sure. you know, at least an hour. We all have a drink and just shoot it. And like, there was no wrong answers, no wrong ideas. It was just, what are you thinking about? And what was cool about it too, right, Dale? It's like, we'd end up, it wasn't really about gear. It was more music. Like it was like 75, 25, mm-hmm. where like 75% of it was really our music life. What we're listening to, like what's inspiring us, what's the world that we're playing in. And then maybe that other 25 is like, okay, is that triggering a thought or an idea at the product level? And let's kick it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's really important because we know a lot of companies out there where, you know, I'm not a lot, but there's some companies that definitely have the musician and the engineer disconnect. And it's nice to have players, you know, it's really important. So, and Aguilar has always had that. You know, I knew Dave Avinas when he worked at the Bass Exchange.
Yeah.
I actually bought two basses from him before he moved out. So,
that's awesome.
So, you know, obviously he's moved on, but I've known, you know, and I knew Boonshoft and I was actually in the mid 2000s, I was an endorsed artist from Aguilar. And it was awesome because wherever I would tour, they would just, you know, they would release the amps, and I did the Latin Grammys. I did a bunch of gigs and it was fantastic. And it was just such a great company, an easy company to work with, you know, and
it
seems that it's just evolved for the better. I mean, the DB750 for me is like the best amp ever made. The 751 is killer. Obviously the weight is crazy, but I mean, you know, but it's just, they're just great. And then the tone hammers and I don't know, everything's just very well thought out for the real players, you know? And I think that comes from you guys and this company always having the player first, you know?
Yeah, it's the thing that keeps you in check, you know, as you're making products and doing things. It's like, how does this integrate into your music life? And I think sometimes, you know, that's always, especially for someone in my position, that's always the risk you run, right? Is especially in a gear world, you're like, you're seeing what people are doing, and you're like, wait a second, you got to kind of filter all that out and really just pump through the perspective of music. And that, you know, both Dave Boonshoft, Dave Avinas, like that's the legacy we come from and that we are continuing into the future. That's not changing, especially in this next season and chapter of Aguilar. Sure. And you know, it's funny, like 751, you know, we have these iconic pieces of gear. And we're, you know, definitely asking the question, all right, like kind of what's the next chapter of that?
Yeah.
You know, we're asking all those different things right now. And it's hard, man, because I don't want to say it's like we wrote all the hit. That's definitely not what I'm trying to say. But it's like, how do you evolve this? And I think that's where we're at as a brand right now is, you know, music has changed. I mean, just recording, right?
Sure.
I mean, we went from, I think, especially coming out of the pandemic, we had, you know, so many people who set up this at home recording life that either they, you know, knew enough about the recording world to build it at home. And then some people who this was a completely new territory, but because of life and everything that happened, you had to.
Yeah.
And it was like, Dale, we were getting emails like, is it okay if I can use my amp without the cab? Right. Yeah. And like, because I'm tracking at home, is this like, how do I use this? And it's so, like,
yeah. Oh, this is what a DI does. That's why it's important.
Exactly.
Wait, pre and post. Yeah.
I had
a lot of people just asking me from the bass hang, video editing.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you can record with your phone and have that, but you need to record direct. And like, what's that? And then you sync it and, you know, probably 10% went on to do it. And the other 90% were like, this is a pain in the butt.
It's really frustrating. It's
And I
was seeing that even myself as a musician. And, you know, so like Dale knows, I say this all the time. It's like, you've got to think about products now and like, maybe like three different ways.
Yeah.
You know, at home, on stage and in the studio, if you get to be in a studio, right?
Yeah. And then you have an idea and then you start developing it. And then there's the marketability. It's the cost of actually coming up with that versus are we going to sell some? So that's, a lot of people don't understand the business model where they're like, oh, why don't you just put this in this? It's like, it's not as easy. There's all kinds of molds. There's all kinds of, like,
it's,
you know,
it's
a lot of steps, and it's not just, especially the bigger a company gets, it becomes more difficult. There's a lot of, you know, you have to legalities with, it's a bigger picture.
Bigger world. Yeah, it's definitely a bigger picture. And you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, and I say this all the time, you know, we're curating an experience for someone, right? Yeah. And by the way, this is for any brand, right? Sure. That you buy, whether it's us or any, it doesn't matter. You're buying something that was curated by a person or a team and saying, hey, here's what I have to say. And you kind of hope it lands on good soil, you know? And I think with Aguilar, you know, we're definitely saying, we're saying something with any piece of gear that we come out with, you know, you're choosing to come on, like to join us on the journey,
sure,
you know, of Aguilar. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we have people that, you know, continue to trust us throughout, you know, the years, over 25 years of, yeah, you know, making this gear. And, and I think, you know, with Aguilar, we're definitely, you know, a bit of a less is more approach. You know, I think we always want our gear to feel intuitive, you know, right? There's nothing worse than pulling out a manual, yeah, right? You want to do that.
I hate it. I mean, I hate it. I want something that I know on a jazz bass, it's volume, volume, tone.
Yeah.
Or it's volume, panning, tone.
Which is hard because, like, I'll tell you what, like, as the brand, like, trying to make those choices and curate that, it's tough because I always tell, like, people, I want, my goal at the end of the day is that when you plug in and turn on your head, yeah, you never turn back around once you start playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gear, who cares about it? The gear means absolute, in my mind, and I'm like the worst. It means nothing. It's like, because we're making music, we're making art, right? And
absolutely,
our job is to help you do that. That's
easy,
it.
Yeah, almost the easiest way possible. Here's the tool.
Here's a tool,
yeah,
and go create art with it. Because I, you know, there's a phrase I love. The CEO of Ritz-Carlton, and he says, I don't care what, and Dale knows, this is like something I kind of live by, but he's like, I don't care what industry you're in, you're always in the industry of hospitality. Absolutely. And when you build, yeah, something, does it feel like a customer is considered? Do you feel, mm-hmm, like they're, you know, you had them in mind? And I think that's that connection. And I feel like even like 751 is a great example of that. It's, yeah, a really simple amp. It's just good industrial design. Great sound,
yeah,
three band EQ, no sliders.
Yeah.
And most of the artists and players that we have, all they do is just plug in and turn it on. And that's, yeah, a beautiful thing, you know, because again, that just, that to me means they can spend more time making art to impact, you know, me, Dale, and everyone else. So,
yeah, that's cool. Well, Aguilar Amplification, I mean, you guys to me are kind of a legacy bass amp company. You know, you definitely, it's, you know, obviously there was like Ampeg, SVT, but honestly, when the evolution came about of, okay, real bass amps, you know, like, okay, GK, you know, there's other ones, but Aguilar came in and man, it just, you know, always evolved. I really consider Aguilar a very legacy company in the history of the bass. You know, I've always thought that along, you know, if you take bass makers, you know, Ken Smith, you know,
guys
like that, that are legacy that really kind of evolved and changed stuff. You know, the 112 cabinet, the DB112,
yeah,
the GS112s, dude, those like two DB112s two DB112s with a DB750 to me is Nirvana. Or two GS112s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's just iconic, you know, yeah, it's really iconic, yeah, you know, and I just think that,
I mean, you know, shout out to Boone, you know, I mean, our founder, yeah, you know, yeah, what I love, you know, and he's dear friend and, you know, still, yeah, very much a part of this team and this culture and, you know, being with him, you know, over those years and just learning from him and soaking it up, you know, he was such a good person of asking the question of why.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, that's,
he
so
did
important.
That so well, right. And you know, incredible ears, incredible instincts, and really did, you know, such an incredible job building the foundation and ethos, right?
Yeah.
What's our ethos as a brand? Like, you know, that comes from him, and it keeps us, like I said, it's that gut check. It keeps us tried and true with anything that we have coming forward. And, you know, those designs, I mean, it's funny, like I think about like the DB112, right? Like Goran, like, in, yes. Dale Goran, our engineer, who's not here. Shout out
Goran.
Iconic. And you know, the first project Goran came in on when he joined the team, and he's been over a decade with us, was the 750, and 751 was like kind of his first baby. So there, you can put a name to that. And so you know, the Boone, like I said, he left this incredible foundation. He built this incredible foundation for us.
Yeah.
That, you know, I remember being in the room, you know, listening to cabinets with him and all these intricacies and little things that you listen to that a customer would never know about, right? It wouldn't even be on their radar.
Yeah.
But that's why when I said earlier, you know, curating experience, it's us in the room having that debate about like, all right, do you hear that chuffing? Do you hear that little poke in there? Why, you know, well, if a customer does this, you know, all that stuff. And we would sit, I mean, Dale, you've been a part of that, right?
Yeah.
Constant back and forth.
Yeah.
Just never, almost like never settling, you know, really that's what it was. And trying to design, especially with cabinets, I would say, trying to determine like a voicing that considered all the things a customer A would never consider, and also not voicing it in a way where we're trying to impress you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, you're going to start tweaking your EQ and things are going to happen. And this thing has a voice to it that's going to allow, you know, X, Y, Z to happen. And so anyways, but Dale, I want to add to that.
I get it.
Yeah. The only thing that I was very impressed with is Dave Boonshoff taught me how to really listen.
Hmm. Yeah.
And because I was, so I've always worked on the West Coast and Aguilar's based out of New York.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I would be there as they were doing product development and they would let me sit in. I remember on the SL410, how much time we took on the length of the port.
Yeah.
And we would put the ports in and then sit back and play different basses and listen. And well, back to you too, Jordan, you and Boone would go, you know, I hear something. I'm like, it sounds great. And then they would change it and it would sound better. You know, it's like they really taught me how to listen in detail. And that's the thing that Jordan's been taking forward is not just rushing to produce.
Yeah.
Take our time, listen, test it in different ways. So yeah, I love that process. I wish in many times I was in New York because that's a really cool part to be, to sit in on that. It's not just, hey, let's make a this cab. Okay, throw it together, put it out to market. No, it's a long process, and but it's cool. It's cool to see the care that goes into that.
So with artists and stuff like that's, I know we're going to get to the pedals, the main thing. But this is fantastic because, like I said, you know, being a legacy company, there's just so much history there, and I love you know. Yeah. Dale, with artists right now, obviously coming out of the thing that we're that we came out of, more artists are out there on the road and stuff. What are you seeing? Kind of, I don't know, a trend maybe. What do you see in amp wise?
Well, first of all, can we get a hallelujah that live music's back?
Hey.
And amen. You know what? Yeah. I've talked to so many people outside of the music industry who have admitted that they took live music, live dance, live theater for granted, and it became low on priority. And then when the world shut down, or we, as we say, it was put on pause, the value of live performance was raised up. And I hope that stays because it is really, hey man, we all have hard jobs, but to go and see a band play and to see that moment that's, even if it is recorded for a live recording, being in the room when that magic happens makes everything else worth it. I remember talking to artists who said that, listen, I don't work when I'm on stage. The work is the airports, the hotels, it's the press, all that stuff. When I'm on stage, that's not work. And you get to capture that. So that's first of all. Trends. Definitely in-airs are becoming more of a thing. But here's the interesting. The interesting part is hybridization. Whereas, you know, a lot of houses of worship, it's no amps on stage. It's in-airs.
That's
what we're catching more out. And I think gear has to be flexible enough for is mm-hmm. in-ears for monitoring and stuff, but still live amp on stage.
Yeah.
That it's like the pendulum swinging back to center now, where it's a balance of both things. So artists are reaching out to me wanting to have the tone hammer pedal. Mm-hmm. So they can send DI out and all that and have tone shaping, but they're still having their Aguilar rig on stage for, you know, for all the other reasons. The other thing is seeing more and more people reach out to me about mic placement and what mics do we suggest? So yeah. Obviously there's a thing going on where we have direct to house, but also they're taking a mic signal to the front of the house.
That's cool.
So I'm seeing that quite a bit and I love it because pedals are back, baby.
Yeah. Nice.
I probably get more emails about our pedals now. Just wow. Of course there is an excitement because we breathe fresh life into the pedals, mm-hmm. but we have some real high profile players who are just embrace the pedals and running with them. It's interesting to see pedals are really back, you know?
Yeah, well, definitely. I'll piggyback on that. You know, the in-ear life and the sort of rig-less scenarios that I think so many musicians find themselves in now, or like Dale said, you know, the being able to pivot between either or, you know, really presents an interesting and fun challenge for us as a brand right now. I mean, these are the things we're thinking about. Like, I'll just make a blanket say we have a lot of stuff in the pipeline. We really do, but it takes time. And as Dale mentioned, you know, with Aguilar, we don't rush things, you know, slow and steady. But, you know, we're asking this question of like, okay, if you're a musician that has to jump between those scenarios, how does the gear need to take shape? And some of it, I think, you know, and we're asking this question now, like internally, like what does that look like on a head? What does that look like on a pedal? Is there something that's just a completely different shape or thing that actually works? You know, sometimes you think a little outside the box as opposed to in the box. And that's hard. And I definitely see, you know, in addition to that, I think, and our artists have been talking about this too, and we're working on some stuff. But it is, you know, how does that also connect with my like recording DAW life? Right. That hybrid between software, you know, and gear and hardware, and where do we make things that kind of fit some of those needs? Cause they definitely are. I mean, one thing that definitely came at like very concrete was people were recording at home and suddenly they got into, let's say, Luna or Logic and Pro Tools a lot more heavily. They start downloading plugins and all of a sudden their MacBook Air died because they don't have enough horsepower. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you saw very quickly where the ceiling is lot of things. And so, you know, even on the software side, like, you know, Aguilar has always been known as an analog hardware based company, but, you know, we're thinking outside that too, because, you know, it's like, okay, what does that world look like and what's the need? And so, you know, for me personally, it's, I think at the end of the day, regardless of the approach you take, and we've seen so many brands take different ones and they're all great. I mean, they're just different approaches, right?
Yeah, of course.
Our thing is always, it's the technology is a tool. That's it. Yeah. And some tools are better for certain applications than others. Mm-hmm. And that's great. So we're asking ourselves too, okay, like how do we bring that analog heart and soul into even something in a plugin space or a software space? And, you know, we've been now, as everyone knows, you know, a part of the Korg USA family, and Korg as a group has been such a fantastic support to us.
Yeah.
And this has been a great relationship because we get to post these kinds of questions to an incredible technology company.
Yeah.
And evolve even what they're working on, right? Because we're doing our job as musicians to discern the needs and saying, hey, what we have right now doesn't really do the job. And I mean, come on, we're so guilty, right, of jerry rigging things to
make it work.
And we're like, no, let's fix that. And so that's definitely something people have been asking.
I like what you're hinting at. IR picking up on that.
IRs are they are.
IR might be picking up on that.
So I'll say this. We are asking the question of how to evolve IRs.
Sure.
I'll tell you my issue with IRs as a musician.
Yeah.
it feels like you're triggering something. It's not something you're playing into, right? Because yeah. it isn't. It's a, you know, it's really the most world's most glorified EQ curve.
Yeah.
Right. That's what an IR is. And IRs, by the way, they serve actually a great function. They really do. I mean, I'm not knocking them at all.
When used correctly,
especially if you're in an in-ear context and you're wanting to add just some of that character, right, to that experience. Awesome. It works great. We're asking the question now, okay, of like, how do we take something that's static and make it feel more organic? Okay. Very hard. Now, that's what I'm saying. This is the long game, Aguilar.
Yeah.
You know, and we're asking the questions and we're doing the research and trying to figure out. And I think, you know, you could see a lot in the studio world, especially with brands like Universal Audio, who I'm such a big fan of and love their work.
Me too.
And I mean, those people have like straight up colleges doing research. Yeah. Like it's such a mind blown like thing. But I will say it is very exciting to see the technology that's being developed right now.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. It's absolutely like amazing. And we have some great people on our side and really talented engineers that are doing the hard work of figuring out, you know, when I play into it, does that feel like I'm playing into something? Sure. Space, right? Yeah. When you have in here, it's a sense of dimension. And sometimes that's not throwing like reverb on it. It's a little bit more nuanced than that.
It's real spatial. But I and you mentioned Luna. And I actually started using Luna last year as my main DAW. I freaking love it.
I love it too.
I switched from Logic to that, and I'm just like, this is, and I have a Symphony. I'm all in UA, man. I mean, it's, I mean it's ridiculous how good it is, you know, and makes it easy to record, you know, and
digital and analog. I don't think people need to be scared of anymore, you know. And I think, you know, very fortunately, UA, you know, really helped set the pace for what, you know, we could do in a digital space.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for us as a brand, again, it's a tool. So how, what in the analog space, right, is a great tool and a great approach? What in the digital space is great?
Yeah.
And where can those two potentially work together to what? Say, hey, oh, it's digital. No, it's just to do the job better. Ultimately, anything that we come out with, you shouldn't care. Or I want people to use the gear and not even really think about, is this analog? Is it digital?
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Does it sound good?
Like, does it sound, does it feel right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Then we did our job, you know?
Well, for musicians and recording, I always say poop in, poop out. I mean, honestly, that's it. Like if what you put it, and that's what trips out a lot of people when they're recording for the first time, like, is that me? Like, it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter your signal chain, doesn't matter what you're going through. That's it. And then obviously if the gear can facilitate that, so I'm not even thinking about it, I'm just playing. I mean, that's even better and better and better. So
really a challenge as a engineering company, you know, that and I wish more people like knew and understood this, is just what the demands of doing things at that performance level, like what it requires. You know, because if anybody who's used Luna, right, the second you start stacking on those plugins,
that
EQ meter just whoop, right? Yeah. Because of all the horsepower it's taking. And so that is a research and technology challenge we're addressing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do that sound like
this is the eight core symphony. So I can, because I've been recording a lot of drums, so I'm like, all right, I need that. So anyways, not to digress, but...
No, but it's... so what we're asking ourselves, this is what we're researching and looking at, is, okay, like, how much performance can we get within a certain context or space?
Sure.
And trying to find that middle ground, right? Because you can't send someone out on the road with a MacBook Pro, right? And the cost. And I think that's probably the last bit with Aguilar, is that we recognize the customers that we serve, and you know, we're very conscious of, you know, the working musician, right?
Yeah.
And that gear is an investment, and we want people to feel like what they're investing or choosing to make an investment is, you know, feels like a really robust, well-rounded experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, and Dale knows this, we've talked about things where I'm like, man, I would love to throw this piece, but it would cost the person another $500.
Yeah.
And that's a hard call to make. Yeah. Because I know someone, you know, they might not be able to swing that, but I know this gear is going to serve them. And so that's really the hardest decision, because we definitely are a no compromise company. We don't, we won't ever be. But, you know, we are saying, okay, what makes sense at an approachable, you know, price point, right? What can we do for someone at this category? Yeah. And then what do we say? Hey, you know what? If this particular thing requires this particular hardware that costs this particular, great. It is what it is, right? Yeah, we're not afraid of that either, but we always have the working musician, you know, front of mind for us. And that's where we filter everything through. But definitely, man, the recording world, you know, but again, that hardware life. So imagine if you didn't need to buy a satellite and that was in a piece of hardware that you already own.
Yeah.
That's a very different thing. So you're not taxing your computer. You're using your Aguilar hardware to do that work.
Oh.
Just throwing that out there. So
I can't wait. Oh my gosh, that's really cool.
I didn't say nothing. You didn't anyway, say what's in our, what we're thinking, what's in our head. But exactly. You know, so yeah, I would say that, but again, I think, you know, we have this analog heart that's never going away,
sure.
But you know, certain things are great for certain applications.
That's cool. All right. Well, okay. To perfectly segue, analog heart, pedals.
Yeah.
Your total. So for me, like when I saw the new redesign, it's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And a ballsy as hell move. Ballsy. Awesome. Because again, legacy company, iconic. This is one, I mean, it's one of the best octave pedals out there. You'll see it on every rig. Yeah. And then coming out and kind of redesigning all these. I mean, I thought it was great. I think it's awesome. I actually love the look of the new pedal. I love it. They look so uniform. Yeah. Everything looks rad, man. And I guess what was the impetus to do that, to a total redesign?
Yeah. So, well, for anyone listening who hates them, you now have my name and face and voice to that. Okay. I'm so glad you love him, Steve. So, you know, this was, by the way, I should also say this, like the crew that has been, you know, I know, especially with Korg and us joining that family, the Aguilar crew is the Aguilar crew. We're still here.
Sure.
Nothing changed. Good. And so, you know, but a part of that is internally, we were like, you know, we love these designs and we wanted to not only give them a fresh coat of paint, because there's always a new audience, right? There's always someone new. And so, you know, we said to ourselves, we have these funny names, Fuzzister, Corusor, like these are wild names.
Yeah.
And we always like, we love them and they kind of had these like personalities.
They're great. But
we wanted the design of the product to reflect that, because these are colors. They're effects, right? They're meant to give you a palette of something different, right? To make music with. And so we wanted to bring basically that name to life. That was really our original thinking. And then on the hardware side, you know, we wanted to make them obviously lighter and more compact. I think as bass player, especially for myself, I'm New York City bass, you know, smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, just because you're on a train, you don't want to carry a lot. And so we went over to, you know, an aluminum box, something a bit more compact to shave some of that way. And definitely with the old and the new, you'll feel the weight difference.
Cool.
Okay. Right away. Yeah. You know, the older ones, you know, had this steel bent chassis. They were larger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had a lot of people. We also had a lot of people that were like, you know, I love the pedals, but, you know, as my board's getting smaller, this thing is kind of eating up space.
Yeah.
You know, and so we took it as an opportunity to refresh that. And then selfishly, I really love the old 750 knobs. I think those were some beautiful looks matter, guy. You know,
I love the original 750 knobs, and that's that style knob as bass knobs are my favorite.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Come on.
The Sadowskis would have that knob. You know?
Yeah. It's the best feeling ergonomic knob. It looks rad. It's not.
Yeah. It feels primo.
It feels good. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So we love that knob. I loved it. And I was like, man, I want to bring the knob back. And so we brought it back.
That's awesome.
And that knob ain't going away. You'll be seeing more of it. So that was, again, the hardware. And then the internal guts were like, you know, it ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Good.
And so being able to, let me just make the statement clear. If anybody is wondering, plain and simple, make it right now. Again, yeah. You all can fight me afterwards. Same engineer who engineered those pedals.
Same thing.
Same exact circuitry that's under this. So no worries there. We didn't skimp out. It's the same circuit you know and love. And that was what we wanted to be able to present this, you know, to what I like to call the farm team, right? That next generation of bassists who are, you know, setting the pace and doing it with style, you know?
Like, oh, dude.
Blue de Tigre, she's an incredible example of that. This amazing young musician who is just setting the pace, doing it with so much swag. And she has, you know, these pedals now, and it's really cool to see, you know, her style that's reflected in her gear, connect with our products and our pedals, you know? And like I said, you know, the designs, that was myself and Norm Morales, you know, from our team, who's just incredible artist and designer. And we had some fun, you know, we're like, yo, let's the Optimizer, you know, I'm a Twin Peaks fan.
Yeah.
So Red Room. You got that there. Taurus. We've internally called him Stompy. That's Stompy.
Yeah.
Fazister. We were like, man, we love that Bit Crusher Atari vibe. Like, we were just wanting to bring all of this up, which, by the way, again, was always as a team, we would joke about all these things. We're like, why? Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
So this is it.
I love it, man. And again, that's a huge question answered. Internals, same.
Yes.
Obviously people are gonna be like, well, don't change it. It's like, you know, and then again, you're not gonna please everybody. It's one of those things. You never
It's so funny, man. We've been getting comments of as we've had both sides of this sounds, oh, there's tone suck here. Hmm. And then other comment, this one sounds better. And I think, you know, there's that perception that you're always going to struggle with. But yes, definitively, like from the horse's mouth, it's the same circuit.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. And again, it's I think it's a really cool, ballsy, brave move. Because honestly, like for me, I'm not the biggest pedal guy, but I love an octave pedal. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to the majority of bass players, there's two pedals that people bass all these other octave pedals. It's the OC2 and the Optimizer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how iconic that is.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I'm sure there's other ones, but that's the one that I know. Anybody that I've ever talked to or worked with octave pedals, that those are the two pedals that are the example, you know, which is really cool. That and now it's, you know, it evolves. So I can't wait to check them out. And
They're, you know, I feel like too, you know, it's great to hear that. I mean, it means a lot to us. Yeah. And I always think about, you know, for some people, they have no idea. Right.
Yeah.
And so and I think, you know, with these new aesthetics and everything, you know, we're making a statement. We're saying a lot about who we are as people.
Yeah.
You know, I used to always say we have this big, beautiful baseball logo. Right. And it's awesome. A fun, whimsical logo. And I think that's also reflective of the personality of our team. You know, like we like to have fun. And I think it was a great project to kind of show a little bit more of our personality. You know, I think that's really what it was. And also, you know, as we move into this next chapter of Aguilar and all the new products that you'll see coming down, you know, we'll kind of show a little bit of that evolution of the aesthetic, you know, in a direction that, you know, is all 100% Aguilar. It's all us, you know, putting ourselves out there, and we got some cool stuff coming out. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Year.
I can't wait. Dale, have you any feedback from players with the new pedals and stuff, some direct stuff that you've gotten?
It was very cool because we did a unique launch. We wanted to reach out to Blue and to Stu Brooks. The great Ian Martin Allison. We got the whole kit into a lot of people's hands.
Cool.
Within, no joke, within 10 minutes of Stu putting up his first video, I get a text from Chris Chaney going, dude, what's going on? I got to get these.
Mine? Yeah.
And it was exponential. And getting like texts and calls of some top Nashville players wanting to confirm what you guys talked about, which is, did you keep the circuits the same? Because the circuits are sacred to us.
Absolutely.
And and so, but it was so much fun to have this response. And in all honesty, no one had anything negative about the look. It was big positives about reducing the size. Mm-hmm. I think that because fly rigs are becoming popular, people wanting to have their sound to go to direct to house on the smallest possible thing, it was a big call. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know, seeing these artists respond to it. So you guys can check it out. If you check our Instagram, we tried to archive a lot of these artists. Jordan, we need to talk about Time to Create too, because that was kind
of... I was just going to say, Time to Create was a good example of, you know, I think another part of Aguilar that you're going to be seeing fleshed out more, which is, it's really simple. It's called music. I mean, we, as much as we love gear, I think, you know, as a brand, if we don't talk about music, we have nothing to talk about. And I think music is that common denominator, obviously. And so, you know, so we, with the launch of these pedals, you know, we had this campaign idea called, you know, Time to Create. And really what we were saying was, these pedals, these colors that you have to choose from, we want to show them in a different light to inspire you to make art. That's really what our goal was with it. And so even the artists that, you know, partnered with us on this launch, it was all connected to Time to Create. Cool. And what's the music that you're going to come with? Sure. And so I think was a great example of that, you know, he has an aggro, loved the aggro. It's one of his favorite overdrives.
Yeah.
That was the new one, got the new one. And it became this sort of like falling in love again with the product that, you know, I think sometimes aesthetics can do that, right? And it can, you consider it differently. And suddenly, right, Dale, what has he said? He's like, Danny Ellison track that he was doing. And he's like, I'm going to retrack it with, you know, I got to put the aggro on it. And so, you know, it was really cool to, even in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. An artist who, a longtime member of the family, loves the product already, had the OG.
Yeah.
Yet this new one sparked, you know, sort of like wiped the dust off a little bit said, oh my gosh, I need to go redo the track. He loves the Chorus Source, so he put the Chorus Source with the aggro on that, which I thought was really stellar. It's such a good sound. And even for us as a brand, right? We've known these pedals, we've had these pedals for years. And to hear what all these artists and the public, you know, who have been tagging us and trying to create and post has been such a cool community experience. And that was our goal. Like, that was what we wanted to come out of this thing with. And we're seeing the fruit of it. And it's beautiful. It really is really, really cool to see. And we want, you know, Aguilar, even as we're a legacy company, and I know, you know, we have so many incredible pros, but Aguilar's for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with the pedals, they're a great, great, like, bridge. Yeah. For someone who, you know, admittedly, we have some people like, maybe I shouldn't get a, you know, an Aguilar rig yet. And we're like, no, it's for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Start the relationship and get to learn about us. And the pedals are doing that. And so, yeah, we're happy, man. We knew it was a ballsy move.
It's a way ballsy move.
And for like the first 5 days.
Yeah, exactly. Put it out there and just go. Yeah,
as Dale, I was dying. I was like,
it could go either way. It could go, but I think and it's totally my bad that I'm concentrating on Optimizer. But you said the aggro, the fill. I mean, there's so many of the pedals that are definitely iconic. So, my apologies for just concentrating on that one, but there are so many. So,
dude, we forgot, you know, man, these are such great, you know, unique designs on their own. And we wanted to make sure we show that. And that kind of started, you know, the Storm King pedal was our first sort of, you know, statement into us, let's say, like I said, having some more fun with this.
Sure, sure.
That was just more of a passion project. We were kind of putting ourselves out there just like, hey, we're going to have fun. And this is the product that came out of it. And we loved that one too.
Man, that's awesome, man. Well, I took up a lot of time, guys, but I cannot thank you. And you know what? The other thing, I'm gonna put all the links. I'm gonna fly in some pictures and stuff. But man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out. It means a lot to me, and the community will love this too.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for wanting to have us on. And
it
feels great to, you know, be able to share about just where our heart is at, you know, with the public. What are we thinking about these days? And I would just say, you know, for all those that are listening, it's going to be an exciting year. It really, really is. We're excited about it. We have products that are coming out, and Dale, as my witness, we're like, yo, I want to buy that.
Yeah.
So stuff is happening.
I'll want to buy it too. It's like, come on, you'll be hearing from me.
I got you, Steve.
Awesome, man. I love it. All right. Jordan Cortez, Dale Titus, Steve Arajo of the Bass Hang. Thank you so much for joining. As we always do on the Bass Hang, we stop the recording, but we go in the green room and we do a little chat behind the scenes. So, all right, public, we'll see you guys later. I'm not the one.